If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands you need, from athletic stuff, like a full-court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff, like a half-mile stroll. Get those steps in! And for morning hikes up the mountain trail, good pace. To nighttime ghost stories from the camping chair. What a twist. Whatever level of active, Sierra loves it all. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
This Valentine's Day, the UPS Store Certified Packing Experts are helping pack and ship all the ways we care. From the lovey-dovey XOXO gifts for your Galentine's gal pal, even pet gifts for doggy dearest. When you ship UPS Air at the UPS Store, your items arrive on time or your money back, guaranteed at no extra cost, exclusively at the UPS Store U.S. retail locations. Send your Valentine's on time at the UPS Store. Visit the upsstore.com/airguarantee for full details. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to Gabby with Gib. God, aren't Summer House and Southern Charm just the gifts that keep on giving? I mean, to me, there's just something about comparing notes, particularly, of course, when it comes to Paige and Craig. After watching new episodes of both shows every week, it just hits. It just does. I'm your host, Gibson Johns, and once again, it's just me today. People seem to enjoy the solo episode, so I'll try to do them a little bit more often for you guys. We're going to talk today about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, Summer House, and Southern Charm. So let's go in order, shall we? Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. So I spoke on Wednesday's episode at the top about Garcelle's exit, but we had not seen Watch What Happens Live yet. And what an episode of Watch What Happens Live it was, as we all know. So it was Erica and Bose on after the finale. And, Andy asks them about Garcelle leaving and they give him the silent treatment. Very shady and very telling. And it pissed a lot of people off. A lot of people were up in arms over Erica and Bose's reactions to Garcelle. They found it disrespectful. They found it unnecessarily shady. But I do need to just say up top here that, like, we have not seen the reunion yet. And clearly, like, something, whatever goes down with Garcelle and the rest of the women at the reunion contributed to Garcelle quitting the show and also contributed to how Erica and Bose feel about it. And it contributes to how the other women didn't comment on her post, didn't previously acknowledge her exit. So I personally, I'm just speaking for myself, I'm not passing judgment either way on how they're all reacting to it, how they're all interacting right now, because we don't know. We've only seen a trailer, and I'll talk about a couple of reports that have come out and claims that have come out about what leads to this moment. But like, I'm not going to judge either way because clearly something very intense happens. And if until I see that, I don't know how to feel about it personally. Clearly, Bose and Erica are extremely pissed about Garcelle quitting, at Garcelle for how she quit. Bo says that she was disappointed that she is departing like this. And Erica said that they've known that she quit for 2 weeks. So it sounds like Erica and the rest of the cast considered Garcelle walking off of the reunion set. And it seems like she does not come back after walking out and her not being there for the group photos at the end. I think they considered that her quitting. They assumed that she had quit. But Andy hit back at that on Watch What Happens Live and also on his radio show, because he said that, like, you know, he obviously knew that she stormed out, but like Kyle stormed out once and wasn't there for the photos, but she still returned. And Erica was like, well, of course Kyle came back. So I guess they read that moment differently. And Andy also hit back on the baseless rumors that Garcelle quit because she found out she was going to be fired. So this is what he said on the radio show the other day. He said that he and Garcelle had a serious talk before, about an hour before she was on Watch What Happens Live. He said that they had been texting after Garcelle's reunion performance. And Andy said that the reunion put Garcelle not in a good place with the other women. He said, she had a reunion that you will see play out, and I'm not going to speak on it. You'll just have to watch. He also described his conversation with Garcelle before Watch What Happens Live as, quote, one of the most real he's ever had. That ended with her choosing to quit the show. So he didn't know that she was quitting for sure until last week, because Garcelle was on Watch What Happens Live last week. Obviously, I kind of wish that she had been on this week so we could have heard it from her directly. But, you know, I believe Andy. I believe that's how it went down. And he said that he told Garcelle to call Bravo in a year to see if she's up for returning. So it's clearly a wide open door. And that, to me, indicates that she was very much not going to be fired. And also, if you think about it, her and Sutton, for the first time, have this fracture in their relationship. And we'll see how big of a fracture it is based on the reunion. But I think their social media activity indicates there is one. You know that they would have wanted to focus on that for the next season. And again, that gets back to my other theory that, like, next season was not going to be a good one for Garcelle. So she was smart to get ahead of it and pull herself out of the equation right now. But when you have a fracture like that, kind of similarly to Kyle and Dorit's fracture this year, the producers, the network, they want to extrapolate that. They want to explore that. So I don't believe that Garcelle was going to be fired. I think that's bullshit. Okay, so in this next section, skip ahead if you don't want to hear what allegedly goes down at the reunion. Because Kempire, who is a fellow podcaster, blogger, YouTuber, he is big in this space. And he had some sources that told him what allegedly happened. And so I'm going to repeat that stuff right now. So if you don't want to be spoiled, skip ahead. So according to Kempire, one of the reasons that Garcelle left The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, and this is, I'm sort of paraphrasing from an article from The Blast, but it was everywhere. Apparently, Bowes blindsides Garcelle at the reunion. Kempire says that at the reunion, she brought up what Garcelle said about Dorit's robbery in 2021. She had previously kind of shaded it, but more recently, she called into question sort of the legitimacy of this robbery, whether like there was any sort of, you know, manipulation that happened on PK's part in particular. And Garcelle basically implied that someone staged the robbery, maybe because of an insurance fraud situation or what have you. That was a pervasive theory online, but Garcelle brought it to the show. And apparently, Bowes says at the reunion, again, skip ahead if you don't want to hear this, that she would have sued Garcelle for defamation if she were in Dorit's position after Garcelle said that. Kempire also claims that Bowes references an after show moment from this season during which Sutton said something about Bowes being an angry or aggressive woman in front of Garcelle, and Garcelle didn't defend her in that moment, which after that's brought up, Garcelle apparently leaves the reunion and doesn't come back. So that's a lot. Those are two different things. When it comes to the robbery thing, I think Garcelle bringing up questioning the robbery was never going to go over well on the show. Maybe the audience cheered it on because a lot of us are in the weeds online and we're very familiar with that theory, and many people also believe that theory. But if you're going to bring something like that up, which is exactly that, just a theory, something like that that's so controversial, which is calling into question something that played out on the show just a couple seasons ago in a very big way, you have to have something more substantial to back it up other than, oh, people on Twitter are saying this. And Dorit says in the trailer for the reunion that, oh, it's just four other people on Twitter who thought this. And it was definitely more than that. Again, this is a very pervasive theory that there is something fishy with this robbery. But again, there's no evidence to back that theory up. No evidence ever emerged. So it was always going to be a losing battle for Garcelle to bring this up on the show, on camera, to elevate it past just social media talk. And nobody on the cast was ever going to co-sign that. Let's be real. Like, that was not going to be something that went over well. When it comes to Sutton apparently calling Bose angry or aggressive, I'm not sure about that because I don't remember that happening. I know that Garcelle and Sutton are obviously paired in the after show with Jennifer Tilly, but like, so, and I think that if Garcelle had defended Bose, I would have remembered that. And obviously the implication there is that, like, as a fellow Black woman, she should have defended Bose against Sutton, because being called angry or aggressive, it is a much more loaded label and much more loaded words to use and more problematic to use about Black women because of the angry Black woman stereotype. So if that's what happens and Garcelle thinks that's bullshit, like, listen, I'm not going to pass judgment either way, especially until we see this play out. But this is the claims about what apparently happens at the reunion that leads to Garcelle quitting. Back to the Watch What Happens Live for a second. I do think that Erica's shady comment about Garcelle's beach house was uncalled for, and I think it crossed a line. But it's also like, these housewives shade each other's homes and where they live all the time. On Potomac, it is basically part of the DNA of that show to talk about where people live, whether it's in Potomac or somewhere else or out near Baltimore. I mean, Giselle does it all the time about Wendy. They did it all the time about Robin. It's always a question of where Karen lives, whether she's in Potomac or not. So, like, that's not unheard of for housewives, but the reaction to that comment was really intense. And obviously there's another element to the dynamic between Erica and Garcelle that's not apparent in, say, Potomac. And I don't think she should have said it, but like, people are really feeling some type of way about Erica all of a sudden again. And it's quite interesting to watch, especially given the energy that Erica brought to Watch What Happens Live. Clearly, Erica does not respect Garcelle's decision to quit the reunion and never come back to sort of face the music and to sort of clear the air. It denies everybody involved closure. And again, we don't know how it plays out. And I'm curious to see sort of how well Bose's apparent confrontation of Garcelle goes over with the audience. Like, who will they side with? I mean, the discourse online has already gotten pretty ugly around this because people are jumping to conclusions and making assumptions about where things go or where they didn't go. Will Bose's thing go over well? Or will it feel like a stretch? Or I don't know. I'm really curious to see how this goes. On Watch What Happens Live, Erica also called out Garcelle quitting as her thorn of the season, which gets back to, again, her sort of just not really respecting the decision to never come back after storming out of the set. She says, "Garcelle, I just wish you would have stuck it out. I know I've been catty tonight and I know you'll do well, but I just wish you would have stuck it out." So we'll see. But again, the temperature around the show this week just like suddenly heated up tenfold. Like, to me, it just reaffirms that Garcelle made the correct decision for herself to pull herself out of the equation. It was not going in the right direction for her. It was going to be a bad season for her next season. And I don't know. I mean, suddenly I'm extremely excited for this reunion. I'm pre-seeded for this reunion all of a sudden, which I wasn't really super excited about and before this week. Otherwise, I mean, it looks like Andy asked Kyle a lot of really pertinent questions about her and Morgan, which is, I mean, we need those questions asked. And that's reflecting what the audience wants answered. We find out that Kathy apparently told her own daughters that she was a lesbian out of solidarity with Kyle, which, like, I need the context around that. Dorit also gets a good jab in when she tells Sutton she lives on a fucking main road, which, of course, like, I think that's great shade. And actually, it's made even funnier because of the fact that there are reports out there that the status of Dorit's home is potentially in flux because of the finances being in flux. And people latched onto this as like, oh my God, Dorit's like, that's so nasty of her to say that to Sutton. Blah, blah. And it's like, well, again, they shade each other's houses all the time. It's not that deep. Like, have a fucking sense of humor about it. Truly, like, don't take everything so fucking seriously. Like, it just really, it grinds my gears. I also loved the moment where they're talking about the Kyle and Morgan stuff. And Kyle says, she did not sign up for the show. And Garcelle says immediately, she did not sign up for the show this season. Exactly. Morgan was on last season. She filmed several times. You talked openly about her. You mentioned her name. You cannot put the cat back in the bag. I'm trying to think of other things from the finale that I thought were notable. And to me, it's just sort of like, Sutton just continues to give the women the reaction that they know they're going to get from her. It's emotional. It's a tantrum. She might storm out. She'll definitely start repeating things, which I think is her tactic of buying herself time to figure out something else to say in the moment. But for once, like, I just wish that Sutton would laugh it off. Show them that she can make fun of herself. Show them that, like, give them a different reaction that they won't know what to do with. You know, because right now, by her crying and getting upset, that's what they want, you know? And it's, you gotta flip it. You gotta flip it and reverse it and throw people for a loop in that way to really change it up. But she can't bring herself to do that. But I really think that would shake the table for her. And then we had those montages of, first we have the montage of Sutton basically being quote unquote bullied. You know, it's all the women who have come for her over the years during her time on the show. A little bit later, we get another montage that shows what Sutton said to make those women say those things to her and about her, which was perfect because I really think that it plays into this idea, which I think is very accurate, that Sutton creates these messes, hides her hands, and plays the victim and says that she's bullied. And yeah, have there been moments where they've crossed the line with Sutton and they've treated her really badly? Absolutely. But she can't say some of these things. She can't ask some of these inappropriate questions at inappropriate times and not expect them to lash back out at her. She can dish it, but she can't take it. And I loved those dual montages and how the second one sort of added more necessary context to the situation. Also, did anybody think that Kathy Hilton was kind of like unwell in this episode? Like, she was always really hot and wearing shorts and a t-shirt to that dinner. Like, There was something going on there, and it was a little concerning. But I did love the end of the episode. I loved them getting in the costumes. They all looked amazing. They all leaned into it. I loved watching them dance together. I thought them sitting at that table in those outfits was ridiculous. Like, why did they have them do that? I thought it was a fine finale. It was pretty good. It was better than the Southern Charm finale, I'll say that. And then in the after show, before we get to Summer House, Dorit accuses Sutton in the after show after the reunion of buying her friendships. She says, I think Sutton counts on her wallet to get what she wants. And she includes in that claim her friendship with Garcelle. She says that after their first season, in which Garcelle didn't really like Sutton that much, like she kind of annoyed her, Sutton bought a table for $25,000 at Garcelle's charity for Haiti. And then all of a sudden they became friends. This is from Dorit's perspective. And I'm really curious, I don't think they do, but I'm really curious if they get to see these after shows before the reunion. Because I know they obviously get to see the episodes, but these after shows, they let claims and name calling and what have you fly on the after shows. And that's the kind of comment that Sutton would be really upset about and she would bring up at a reunion to confront Dorit about, because that's a big accusation. She's really questioning the base of their friendship. So I found that to be really notable as well.
USAA knows dynamic duos can save the day, like superheroes and sidekicks or auto and home insurance. With USAA, you can bundle your auto and home and save up to 10%. Tap the banner to learn more and get a quote at usaa.com/bundle. Restrictions apply.
All right, let's talk about Summer House. Listen, it is undeniable that Jesse and Sierra have a very natural rapport. They have chemistry. It's undeniable. And like, I loved seeing those moments where like Amanda and Craig were asking Jesse about it, when Amanda and Craig and Paige were in the bedroom and they were like, oh my God, those two dancing. Like, they were all sort of giddy over this idea. One thing I was wondering about when they were dancing is like, where was West? Was he witnessing this? Was he feeling some type of way about this? Because I thought it was really interesting how like, we watch this conversation between Jesse, Craig, and Amanda, where they're like, oh my God, are you into Sierra? And he talks about how like West had dibs on her and whatever, but like they've always had like, you know, something going on between them. And then when he goes to talk to West about his conversation with Sierra, Jesse completely doesn't repeat that part. He like notably leaves out some of the most important details about him and Sierra. He's clearly not ready to address that with West. But yeah, I thought that was really interesting. I think Sierra made this point in the after show, which was a really great point. It was like, okay, wait a second. First of all, Wes gets to call dibs, quote unquote, on Sierra after knowing her for like a day. Like, that's kind of okay. And also like, Jesse was talking about this as if like him and Wes were already boys at that point. But him and Wes had also just met the weekend before when Wes called dibs on Sierra. And he's like, well, I had to respect that. And it's like, dude, like you weren't friends yet. Like, I mean, they became fast friends obviously last summer, but like they didn't know each other. Like why did he have to follow boy code so intensely at that point? He didn't. he could have fought. I think the point is that he could have kind of like fought for quote unquote dibs on Sierra, but he didn't go there, which you have to respect, I guess. But yeah, I thought that was an interesting point made on the after show. And listen, I've been hard on West. I've criticized how he has handled the aftermath of the Sierra stuff, and I stand by that, particularly around the reunion when he completely shut down and put in such a bad performance at that reunion, particularly obviously his press run where he was doing all these interviews with the New York Times and other places about her and really kind of capitalizing on the relationship, right? And even the beginning of the season, I think he's handled it very poorly by not stepping up and just addressing things like a man. But Sierra has started to say on this episode that he used her. And I will say, obviously, if she feels used, she's completely entitled to feel that way. And I understand why she would feel that way. But do I think that West consciously used Sierra? I don't. Like, I think that, like, that's sort of like a byproduct of how he treated it and how he went about everything. And he obviously benefited a lot from his relationship with Sierra because it really helped solidify him on the show and it, you know, elevated his platform even more. It gave people something to think about when it came to him on his first season of a show, which is really important as a newbie. But do I think that he like was consciously using her last season? No, I don't. I think that he was genuinely into Sierra for a while and then he completely mishandled everything. He shouldn't have introduced her to his family, all those different things. I don't think that he's actively using her. I don't. Again, she's very entitled to feel that way, but I don't think that he is doing that overtly. It was also interesting to hear him in his conversation with Jesse comparing himself to Austin and, you know, saying that like Austin did something way worse, but their punishments are the same. He said like, you know, he'd be relieved if Sierra started dating someone. And it sucks because a lot of that ties up into his obsession with the public perception of everything. That is West's sort of main downfall right now. It's like, why do you care so much about what the public thinks of you? And it's obviously easier said than done. He's still pretty new to all of this, but like, you got to let that go. You have to sort of act like this is just between real people who aren't living there. Like, he has to stop worrying about what people think of him beyond like the people in his house. Like, worrying about the public so much and the perception of things is ironically not a good look and hurts his public perception. You know what I mean? That's what he doesn't realize. It's like, the more that he shows that he cares about the public perception, the more he's actually negatively affecting the public perception of him than he was before. And I also didn't really like him saying on the after show that Amanda checking in with him left him feeling vindicated when it came to Sierra. I thought that was way too strong of a word to use. And I don't think that's what was happening there. I think Amanda is just a very empathetic person who felt bad for him, but that doesn't mean that she agrees with his perspective on everything. We also had the Kyle and Craig conversation, which I thought was kind of a letdown, to be honest, but I think that it did hammer home this idea that I have talked about before on the show is like, I don't think that I think Kyle's annoyed that Craig signed with a competitor brand, of course, but I think the real sort of lingering issue is how Craig handled it. You know, obviously, even now we're seeing him be so avoidant. He didn't want to talk about the night before. And then he leaves Kyle waiting in the raft for like 20 minutes while he like goes inside and eats some chips and gets another drink. Like, I think Kyle's annoyed that Craig has sort of been a little bit sketchy about it. And behind the scenes, like, I do believe that he probably mishandled it. I really do believe that, especially given his propensity for untruths, as I'll say. Like, I believe Kyle on this. I really do. And he either said in the after show or in the scene, like, when you attack my business, I take it personally. It feels like you're attacking me. And again, that's what I've been saying. It's like, lover boy and the business of it all is the sweet spot for Kyle. If you want to hit him where it hurts, that's where you hit him. And he feels like he was hit there by Craig. The real kind of piece de resistance on this episode was this conversation between Paige and Sierra, which was almost like a continuation of Paige's conversation with Amanda before the party. And this was happening after the party. And they basically came down to this idea of like, wait, is Paige dating a hater? Because Paige told Sierra that after her dinner with Craig that we saw on camera, Craig told her that he didn't want to admit on camera that Paige has more going on than him because that would be negative. And they're like, what the fuck? Like, why can't you admit that it's not even about who has more going on, but like, why can't you sort of like celebrate that? Why is that? This isn't about you, Paige's success. And in the editing of the scene, it was really interesting. I don't know if you guys picked this up. Maybe you saw my tweet about it. Sierra's holding her laptop up in front of her face to block it from the camera. And they're obviously mic'd, so if she says anything, it will be picked up. But if she holds her laptop up in front of her face, why is she doing that? Most likely because she's mouthing something to Paige so that she doesn't want the cameras to pick up. And then we see her say, like, "And I'm not going to tell you again." But we never heard her say anything before she said that comment. So clearly she had mouthed something to Paige. And she has to. I mean, I would need to know what she mouthed. Like, I would love to know. It must have been something along the lines of, like, break up with him, basically. Sierra is, like, a couple steps ahead of Paige, it seems, and sort of endorsing the dissolution of their relationship. And again, it's much easier said than done from the outside in hindsight. Like, oh, Paige is feeling all these things about her relationship with Craig. Why is she keeping it going? I understand that. But if you are Paige and you're having all this, she's having these realizations, but there's also a lot going on. You know, like, you have to remember, like, there's a lot, we're seeing the key moments, but there's a lot of other shit we're not seeing, right? Like, there's a lot of time that's passing. At the same time, she has this tour coming up. He's only coming to the summer house once this summer. They're not really seeing each other that much. Like, they're kind of two ships passing in the night, it seems, right now. And she's having these complicated realizations about somebody who, as Craig says on the Southern Charm reunion, as I'll talk about in a second, in private, it was still really good. And so it's a really complicated thing probably for both of them. And I don't blame Paige for not breaking up with him in this moment. Like, it's much more complicated than that, especially given that they're public figures and their lives are very intertwined and they're on camera right now. And then she's about to go on a 32-date tour. So it's like, what is she going to do? Break up with him right before that tour and then have to talk about it for 32 dates on her podcast? And when fans ask questions, like, no. There's a lot to consider there. And she's having all this anxiety, and we'll see a very tearful conversation between her and Sierra later in the season that ends up with her choosing to go on beta blockers because it's that bad. She can't handle it. So it's like, I get it. I get it. I really do. And I really, and also, like, they have these funny little cute moments where it's like, there's that moment where Paige is on her phone in the bed and Craig's just sitting there sort of watching her. And she's like, wait, where's your phone? And he picks up his phone. She's like, okay, lay back. Go on your phone so I can go on mine. And, like, I love that little moment. I'm sure some haters of Paige will be like, she's being, like, so rude to him. I think that's their dynamic. I think that is their dynamic in private. I think that she kind of makes fun of him and he goes along with it and laughs along with it because, as he said, like, he's kind of in a submissive relationship. That's their dynamic. That's the chicken's dynamic, you know? So yeah, those are my thoughts. Also, the after show had a couple notable moments, but, like, did you guys also notice that the after show was only 9 minutes this week? And last week's was 20 minutes. And on this after show this week, they didn't talk about Kyle and Craig. They didn't talk about Paige and Craig. They didn't talk about this conversation that Paige and Sierra had. So there's a whole part that they're just not putting out. And I'm very curious about that. Makes you think. But last thing about this week on Summer House, on Watch What Happens Live, Jesse was on with Imrul. And who, by the way, let me just say this. I tweeted that I'm kind of over Imrul's storyline about it just being sort of like another woman every single week that we don't get to see who leaves right the next morning. And that's a storyline. And I have nothing against him hooking up with a lot of people. Like, that is his prerogative. It's kind of baked into the DNA of Summer House. Like, that's what the show kind of is about. Is it's like hooking up out in the Hamptons and partying and whatnot, of course. My issue with it is, like, one, we're never seeing them. I would love to see at least one of them. They're not going to drunkenly sign the waivers to appear on camera when they're coming back at 2 a.m. with him and having threesomes. Like, I get that. But, like, that's all we're getting from him. We've heard a little bit of his backstory, but, like, it just feels so separate from the rest of the house and what they have going on. You know what I mean? So I hope they somehow weave it back into the rest of the group, because right now it just feels sort of like this tacked on weird thing with him. And he was kind of weird on Watch What Happens Live. I don't know. Anyway, on Watch What Happens Live, Jesse says that woman Lil, who Carl brought, the trampoline fitness class instructor who wants to be a musician, she was apparently in all the other guys' DMs, or some of the other Summer House guys' DMs, which, like, kind of left my jaw on the floor. I'm like, wait, Lil? This chick? Whose parents introduced her to Carl? Now she's like a jersey chaser for Summer House? I need to know more about that. I hope we get more about that. And then while we're here, before we get to Southern Charm, a little tidbit. So Mariah Smith, friend of the pod from Smith Sisters Live on Radio Andy, I guess Andy went on Smith Sisters Live this week, and they got to ask him all these different questions. And they asked him about the idea of Paige and Lindsay going on Roni eventually. And this is what he said. He said, you know, it's interesting. I mean, we haven't really had those discussions seriously at Bravo. I did bring one of them up in a meeting. First of all, I don't see Paige at this moment in her life saying that's my next step. And Lindsay, I think, has been kind of posting about it. And I think I can't say anything more than that. So he's brought it up. It doesn't sound like it's like an imminent thing. It doesn't sound like it would happen next season, in my opinion. My read on it is sort of like, it's sort of not yet. That's my read on what he's saying. But really interesting. And I'm glad that Mariah asked the important questions. And they also asked him if they've decided on the cast for Roni. And he said, I can't tell you because we haven't fully decided yet in terms of who's coming back. So it kind of made it sound like not everybody's going to come back to Roni for the next season, which is a good thing. They're making some changes, but there's no indication of what those changes are. All right, let's talk about Southern Charm to end it out. So before the reunion aired on Thursday, Leva announced, which is not really a surprise, that she's leaving the show. She says, hi guys, wanted to let you know that although this year was so fun, I'll be stepping away from Southern Charm this year on great terms. I'm in a place now in my life where I want to have time to focus on on boys and my joys and need some time for a life reset on what is aligned for me. I don't have a very salacious personal life to share, but I do have a lot going on. And frankly, I'm working on some pretty cool stuff that I hope to share more of soon. I love my friends on Charm, wish them the best, and I'll show up when they need me. Maybe you'll see me at a party or two throughout their new season. Where you will see me is on Southern Hospitality in full force, where I can focus my energy on the business and the show that has really found its footing this year, thanks to the fans, the Bravo bloggers, and the GOAT network at NBC and Bravo TV. So this isn't TV goodbye. Just maybe you'll see me a little less. Love y'all. So not a surprise. She wasn't really on that much this season. She was honestly most prominent at the end of the season when she got involved in that sort of Barbara drama. But the good part here is that this kind of doubled as confirmation that we're getting more Southern Hospitality, which is a great thing, obviously. You know how I feel about that show. And we had not gotten a confirmation that we're getting a season 4, even though you kind of figured they would. But this, to me, feels like confirmation that we are getting that, which is great news. And I think it makes sense for Leva. As she said, her life is not very controversial. It's not very scandalous. And so, like, it doesn't really make sense for her to be a cast member on the show. And it probably didn't really make sense for her to be on this year. But I really like Leva as a person. And I just don't know if she's, like, made to be a big reality star, you know? But I will say, like, people are being really shady about it online. And just a reminder, we wouldn't have Southern Hospitality if it weren't for Leva. So, like, her time on Southern Charm was not for nothing. And it really gave us this really promising new show that makes me really excited about the future of Bravo. And like for that, I'm very thankful from Leva. And I'm excited to see what else she does next. I mean, because the empire that she has built in Charleston is genuinely very impressive. And it's genuinely the center of nightlife there. And so good for her. You know what I mean? This is talking about Garcelle milking Beverly Hills for all it's worth. Leva milked Southern Charm for what it's worth. She got a spinoff and she opened new businesses out of it. And she sort of helped to make her businesses sort of this like mini Bravo Disneyland down on King Street in Charleston that rivals, you know, the Vanderpump enclave in West Hollywood. So like good for her. And those are all her businesses. So with her husband. So I think that she should feel good about that. All right. Southern Charm reunion. I love a two-parter. I love a two-parter, especially for a season like Southern Charm had, which was pretty uneventful. When you have a two-parter, it just feels like, you know, beat for beat, like there's a lot going on and we're getting to the point, you know, like right away we're talking about Paige and Craig. Right away we're talking about Vanita and JT. Like all the fluff is being cut out of this, of a two-part reunion. And that's how I like it. That is how I like it. So Craig says at the top, the person that Paige has been since the breakup isn't the person I remember dating. And he says that there weren't signs that they were going to break up in private, which gets back to my earlier point of like, from the outside in hindsight, it's obvious, right? From Paige's perspective, it's more obvious. But from Craig's perspective, who clearly was a little bit in denial, you have to say, he says there weren't signs and he's doubling down on that. So take that as you will. Shep says that he found out from Rodrigo. Austin said that he got it out of Craig after their tour stop in Toronto, which is when Paige called him to break up with him, but Craig didn't tell him in person there, which was telling because he said he couldn't trust Austin with the information. you know, he says that he had bought an engagement ring and, you know, it had been 3 years and he'd agreed to move to New York. And that's when she pulled the plug. And Paige says in the mid-season trailer for Summer House, like, that Craig said to her, what'd he say? He said, like, I can't believe you would do this before you would see the ring. And she says, like, well, I don't even know if he's telling the truth about that. So even she was sort of like questioning how truthful he is, which is also telling. He might watch What Happens Live and act like they were together. And he said he did that because he didn't think that it was real. And then he went to her apartment and they had an actual breakup. And she says something to him like, I'm probably making the worst mistake of my life, but I need to go find myself. But then she also apparently told him, maybe we'll get married at BravoCon, which I don't understand what that meant. He said they continued talking all in December until she texted him about doing the Giggly Squad episode where she went public with the breakup. And then his stuff just showed up back on his porch from that was at her apartment. He's maintaining, you know, it wasn't mutual. And it doesn't, and to be honest, it's, even though Paige did present on that first episode that it was mutual, it doesn't sound like it was mutual to me. It's pretty clear that it was not. And he also was like, you know, she's like doing all these TikTok comments and liking all these telling things. And it's sort of like, he clearly disagrees with how Paige has handled it publicly. But I also think that, of course, he disagrees with that because he was the one that was broken up with and is feeling obviously heartbroken over it. And then he says that Paige assured him that she was not talking to or dating anyone else. And then he says, and then she said some crazy stuff. And at first he didn't want to say it, but then he says that she told him, why didn't you try to get me back? And then she also says, I think it's very clear we both made the right decision. And he's like, well, I didn't make that decision. You made that decision, which I think is a valid perspective for him to have. Like he clearly didn't want this to happen. Like he says, I would have never left. And he says, I know I shouldn't have been with somebody who you have to beg to be with. But he says, I wish you would have been honest from the beginning of bringing it publicly so that none of this would have been happening. So his issue is really with her saying that it was mutual when it wasn't and that they made this decision together, which is valid. Like, again, I don't believe it was mutual. And I think that she did that, as she said on a later podcast episode, she said it was mutual to sort of protect him and not make him look like the loser that got broken up with. I think that she was doing that genuinely out of to sort of cover for him. But also it's a little naive because, like, obviously people at some point were going to want the full explanation of this because it was so shocking to so many people and so many people were rooting for them. So it's like people were always going to want to have more details. And like, also you just filmed this season of Summer House where it's very clearly coming from one direction. And so I don't think that was never going to work, sort of telling everyone that it was mutual and that it's staying that way, that being the perception forever. That was never going to happen. So then also on this reunion, we got a lot of JT and Vanita. I didn't like that all we got about him quitting was my inner bitch had a moment. And that's it. Like, that's the whole explanation for him saying that he was quitting the show. Like, I wanted to know what the catalyst was for him quitting the show. What made him post at 6 a.m. on a Friday morning before the season aired while he was still filming confessionals that he was quitting the show? Something caused that. Something he found out about something, or he was asked a question in a confessional, or he had an off-camera conversation with somebody. I'm annoyed that we didn't get more about that, to be honest, because that was a big deal at the time. And how interesting that Vanita knew the exact day that they last spoke. On the one hand, I'm like, I'm glad she has the details, the receipts to back up everything. But also I'm like, knowing the exact date, she was really into him. She really was. I don't really care about the JT and Madison of it all, but I think there was a telling moment in that where basically JT is asked to sort of say more about the FaceTime call that he had with Brett and Madison. And he's like, he like demurs and he's trying to be a gentleman. And it's like, and Vanita yells across, you didn't come here to look cute, just answer the question. And Sally says, you love to make accusations and you don't give details, which is extremely accurate. And then he tries to be the gentleman when it's convenient. And it's like, dude, like, you can't have it both ways. And let's see. I mean, I still remain confused about him and Vanita. I do. But we did get a little clarity. He was with this girl. He was hiding his girlfriend for part of filming, for a lot of filming. And then they broke up after filming. And after filming, after the summer, Vanita and him dated for a month or two. And it sounds like Vanita found out that he was back with this girl when he went Instagram official with her, when the super tease came out. But like, I still don't understand it fully, because there are parts of it where it's like, okay, Vanita did find out about the girlfriend at some point during filming, but it still feels like she went after JT. And some of the confessional things were like, well, imagine having a boyfriend that's like acting like he is around me. So there's still some questions in my mind a little bit, but ultimately it's like, JT played this all fucking wrong. And you know where he really lost me? Well, there's two things. One, when he said, Vanita knew he had a girlfriend, quote, off camera. What do you mean, had a girlfriend off camera? He's like living parallel lives. I don't understand that. Like, that's not, that makes no sense. You're like, that's not going to work. Second of all, Andy brings up the fact that JT did a fuckboy exorcism on Austin last season, but that maybe the fuckboy energy just went back into JT. And then JT says, he says, well, I didn't fuck her, so I don't think I am. You could just hear the oxygen going out of that room. You could hear a needle drop. That shit was so fucked up. Well, I didn't fuck her, so I don't think I am. Oh my God, shut up. That was crazy. That just shows you who he really is. He's not actually this gentleman. You know what I mean? When push comes to shove, the facade goes away and he says things like that. Oh, that pissed me off. That really did. Those are my biggest thoughts on the reunion. Shep and Molly, I guess I'll talk about, we can talk about that in the end of season deep dive. But that's that. In the preview for next week, we find out that Paige cut Craig off and they haven't really spoken. So yeah, that's it for today on Gabbing with Gib. But we'll be back next week with more episodes, of course. And so yeah, have a great weekend. And please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to the show wherever you're listening to this right now. A 5-star review would be greatly, greatly appreciated. It really helps us with the algorithm and just getting ourselves out there. If you've been appreciating these episodes, you can follow us on TikTok and Instagram at Gabbing with Gib. YouTube at youtube.com/@gabbingwithgib. Subscribe to my newsletter, gibsonoma.substack.com, where you can get weekly recommendations for articles and podcasts and TV shows to watch beyond just Bravo. And you can also pay just $6 a month to get lists of everything I watch each month, as well as everything that I am currently watching each month. So would love any support you guys could give. And just thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. Thank you for listening to the show. Subscribe to Gabbing with Gib on any podcast platform to listen to new episodes, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gib on YouTube to watch full-length versions of our interviews. We'd also love your support with a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can follow me at Gibsonoma on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, and keep up with all things Gabbing with Gib at Gabbing with Gib on Instagram and TikTok. Gabbing with Gib is an independent podcast hosted by me, Gibson Johns. It's produced by myself and Riley Dabbs. Graphics are by Rachel Roth, and our cover art photography is by Troy Hallahan. If you want to reach out about guest booking, sponsorship, or advertising opportunities, email us at gabbingwithgib@gmail.com. Thank you again for your support, and see you next time.